Right, now we're going to hear about a new leaflet in the Greystones Cancer Support that's being created called Surviving the Aftermath, and it shares the personal story of Niamh Fortune's journey with cancer. In 2017, Niamh was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and the leaflet is a detailed look at Niamh's life with cancer and recovery. And Niamh is here. You're very welcome.
Hi, Declan.
Hi, Niamh. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Glad to hear that. So take us back to the beginning, and what do you know when something is wrong?
Well, for me, it was a pain in my left shoulder. I thought it was a simple gym injury. I would be an avid gym goer, so I just assumed that I'd pulled a muscle or done something in the gym. So I ignored it and just kind of worked around it. It then got progressively worse over a few weeks, and after about 3 weeks of the pain being quite bad, it was got to the stage where I couldn't really use my left arm because it was so sore and I wasn't sleeping and I just wasn't really able to do anything. Right. So,
and was your first thoughts go to a physio rather than a GP?
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I went to two physios, and one of them, the final one, actually ended up telling me that the pain in my shoulder was due to an imbalance in my foot. So it was a bit strange, and nothing was helping and nothing was making it better. And after a week of me not sleeping at all, my other half, he was like, you need to just go into the doctor, you need to go into A&E, because it was Easter weekend, so there was no doctors open. He was like, let's just go into A&E. I was like, no, it's grand. Like, I don't want to be wasting anyone's time. And he was like, listen, they might just give you some really hardcore painkillers, but at least we'll know that it's been looked after. And I was like, okay, grand. And at the time as well, I was getting really short of breath and I was struggling to breathe and I was getting pains in my chest. So I was like, in my head,
there was
a
lot going on here.
There was a lot going on, and I was trying to ignore a lot of it. So I was like, okay, fair enough, let's just go in. So we went into A&E on Easter weekend, and I was brought into the triage area straight away. And normally they just bring you in there and send you back out into the waiting room and then you're gone home. But the nurse took like one look at me and she had me all hooked up, and she brought me into then the acute A&E, so in around the back where they admit you. And then I was like, oh dear.
Which hospital was this?
Vincent's.
Who have an oncology department anyway.
They do, yeah. And the A&E team were incredible. Like, I was within 5 minutes of being in A&E, I was in the back hooked up and everything. They then brought me straight up for an x-ray to see what was going on inside. Then they brought me back down and I was waiting then for the doctor for about 20 minutes. And then at that time, Johnny, my other half, he was brought back in with me because they realised actually something was wrong. Something was in there. They had told me that it was either an acute infection, pneumonia, or a mass. And then automatically when I heard a mass, I was like, oh my God, is it tumour? Oh my God, it's cancer. Oh, like, my head just went crazy. But they were very good at keeping me calm, and they were very quick at getting all of the tests and everything done. They did a CT then after that as well, and then they admitted me and said they had to do more tests to find out exactly what it was. So I was in hospital then for 5 days over the Easter period, just because it was a bank holiday and took them longer to obviously get things done. But they had to do a biopsy on the mass. They had ruled out that it was an infection, and they said it was either they ruled out it was pneumonia and said it was either an infection or cancerous. So they had to do a biopsy on it to figure out what it was. And the doctor came down to me on the Tuesday before they did the biopsy and said, listen, we're going to do the biopsy this way. So there was two options of them doing it. We're going to do it a certain way because from looking at all of the tests, the results, the size of it, the shape of it, where it's kind of entangled and everything, it looks to be cancerous, but we just have to make sure. So she was kind of pre-warning me that this was going to happen, because they were letting me go home after the biopsy was done. They let me go home after for 5 days, and then I was brought back in and got the results.
And were you in limbo land in that 5 days?
Yeah,
God,
yeah.
That must have been horrible.
It was. It was tough, and it was trying to stay positive, and it was trying to...
You were saying, okay, they're at least on the right road here.
Yeah.
But at the same time, not knowing.
Yeah. That's it, yeah. And like, the blessing for me was the pain was under control, because like, I hadn't slept properly in like, for me it was a long time, because I love my sleep. So I hadn't slept properly in so long. wrong. And I was finally, the pain was under control and they were managing it really, really well. But I remember coming home in the car when we were, when they let me go, Johnny was bringing me home and the two of us were just gone home and it was silence and we weren't really saying much. And then I turned around to him and I was like, I have cancer. And he was like, yeah, I know. He was like, the two of us just kind of, even though we hadn't been told yet, we kind of had that sense, the two of us, we knew.
Did mommy ask you what age group you're in?
Yeah, I was 31 when I got diagnosed. Right. I'm 33 now. So, like, I was looking at it, I was at as healthy as I had been. I eat really well.
Yeah, going to gym and all that sort of stuff.
I do all the things right. I've never smoked, now I do have a couple of drinks now, I'm not going to lie to you. But, I would be quite healthy.
So, out of the blue comes this shocker. What exactly is non-Hodgkin's lymphoma? What is that?
It's a blood disease. So, it's a cell, basically. The way the doctors explained it to me, my first reaction when I got diagnosed, they were like, I said to them, is there something I could have done? Did I do something wrong? Or was it a lifestyle choice or what? And the doctor said to me, no. She said, it's basically a mutated cell that joins into your cells as they're developing and as they're changing. Cells of your body change and develop all the time. And this mutated cell just got in and stuck and grew and took over, basically.
So you had the treatment?
Had the treatment, had chemo, 6 rounds of chemo and 15 rounds of radiation. All in all, the treatment was from May until the end of October. So had all that, felt like as well as could be expected going through it all. It was quite simple. Was never admitted to hospital being sick, was never too ill with it. Obviously, as chemo goes, it's tough. I completely underestimated the radiation side of things. I thought, grand, like, it can't be as bad as chemo is, but then it kind of hits you that little bit later and then you realise how hard radiation actually is.
So through all that and you get the all clear.
Yeah, got the all clear, yeah. So I was halfway through my chemo. They called me to say that I got a PET scan and that basically just does a scan of your whole body and illuminates any cancerous activity, and all of my cells and my lymph nodes were back to normal. So halfway through the chemo, I was told that it was working, which was fantastic, but they obviously had to finish it out to make sure they'd gotten it all. So that was great news. And yeah, I felt great. That gave me a big boost. And I felt like I was, I'm beating this. I'm like sailing through this. This is just, I have my blinkers on and I'm ready to get back to normality come the end of October. Once treatment's all over, I'll be grand. And then just it went all wrong. Like, it just completely wasn't like that. It could, I suppose that side of it for me took the rug from under me more than the actual sickness during cancer did, because I was expecting to be as sick as I was when I was going through treatment. I was expecting to be feel as terrible as I did, because they warn you so much and you hear so much stories about how horrific chemo is. So I was like, yeah, I'm ready for this.
It was after that it happened. Well, you're fine now, are you?
Yeah.
All clear now?
Yeah, I am 21 months in remission now. So yeah, I'm hopefully on August 1st, I'm having my last CT scan. And then they'll move me then, all going well, they'll move me to x-rays and I will then just have x-rays for the next few years to make sure the actual mass isn't growing anymore. So
Niamh. Yeah. Now, you're giving something back with this booklet you've come up with for Greystone's Cancer Support. Tell us about that.
So I wanted to, when I went into remission, when I got better, I went and I wanted to get back to normal life as quickly as I could. I wanted to get back to work. I wanted to get back to everything and kind of forget that it ever happened. So that's what I did. I literally just went gung-ho and, like a bull in a china shop, went back to everything as it was before cancer. Went back to, like, normal Niamh, I suppose. But it came to, I finished my treatment in October and by January I was back in work. I was back doing kind of everything that I had been doing prior to cancer, and it just, I was inside, outside I was pretending to everyone, yeah, I'm grand, I'm doing everything well, I'm doing great, and I was all talk, but inside I was broken, and I couldn't get my head around why I wasn't feeling better, why I wasn't feeling really positive, why I wasn't feeling happy that I was better. Like, I was so sad, I was so I was so angry. I was so guilty. I was so, the emotions that were going through my body, I had never imagined that I would be feeling any of those. I just thought I'd be feeling complete and utter elation because I had beaten cancer. I was in remission. I was back to work. I was back to normality. But it was the complete opposite that I felt. So I started writing kind of down how I was feeling without telling anybody because I was afraid that if I told anybody, people would think I was mad because, like, why is this girl feeling?
You're out of the woods. What are you talking about?
What's wrong with you? Like, you're better, so why aren't you feeling great? So I ended up coming in from work one day and breaking down basically to Johnny, and I wasn't able, just telling him that I wasn't able to cope. I wasn't coping in general, mentally or physically. I was so tired that I couldn't even function. I was feeling sick. I was so tired, but I was pushing through it because, you know, you're better. You have to just get through it. And
hence the surviving the aftermath is the booklet to help those who find themselves in postnatal depression.
It's the post cancer feelings that nobody really talks about and nobody really wants to admit because nobody talks about it. Nobody wants to be the first person to go, oh yeah, I feel like this. But when I put out the article, it came from an article I put out in evoke.ie, and then Greystones, Kathleen and the team down in Greystones asked me would I put it into a booklet for them.
And it's there. And I'm sorry to interrupt you because we're going to news, but just to say, Surviving the Aftermath, A Personal Story by Niamh Fortune. And that word is the word aftermath, which nobody even thinks about, and as you say, thinks, "All right, sure, you've got everything that's done now. You should be fine. Good luck to you now. Off you've rejoined everybody."
Yeah,
but it's not as easy as that. Niamh, the very best of luck to you.
Thank you so much.
And that's fantastic news.
Thank you.
All that, and best luck to you in the future. Thanks very much.
Thanks a million. That's